Today's message is taken from Psalm 90. You may be very familiar with this psalm. Especially, maybe you may be very familiar with the verse, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." To number the days, number our days, sounds urging us to count the number of remaining days, our remaining days. But this phrase recalls me two stories of myself, two personal stories. When I was 13 years old, at the end of a school term, my school teachers, class teachers, have taught us a lesson about making the best use of time. I still remember the teacher said to us, "Young man, life is short. Don't waste your time. When you are 60 years old, your physical health may deteriorate suddenly and quickly. And when you are 70, you may be unable to travel around the world by yourself. So now, as a 13 years old boy and girls, you have already used up one fifth of your wonderful lifetime. So you have to make the best use of your time." Although the teacher has urging us to make the best use of the time, I was scared by his message. At that time, I asked myself, what else should I do whatever I want as a response? Should I do whatever I want? Because life is short. I did not have peace at that time. The same feeling came to me again when I was 27 years old. At that time, I was working, and I had become a Christian for 2 years. On the birthday of my 27th years old, I got a birthday card from a Christian. On the card, it is written a few verses in Chinese, Psalm 90, just as you read. Psalm in Chinese. So I read the Psalm 90, the same psalm, and at home. And it was striking to me. I asked myself, is that Psalm 90 also reminding me to number the remaining days that I have? I'm not sure at that time. But at that time, again, I'm not pleased. It is not peaceful for me to count the remaining days on my birthday. So today, let's look into Psalm 90 and see if we have overlooked any details in the psalm. To begin, let's have an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for giving us the Word, the Bible. May your Holy Spirit be with us and teach us directly so that we can understand your Word and live it out in our daily life so as to glorify your name. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 90, the title of the psalm is A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Psalm 90 is the only psalm among the 150 psalms, the only psalm that is attributed to Moses. And the structure of the psalm can be divided into four divisions. The first two verses is a confession of Moses. Moses confessed that God is the Lord, and he has been our daring place throughout all generations. In verses 3 to 6, it's something about humans' transitoriness and God's eternity. In 7 to 12, it's about human sins and God's anger. And finally, there is a prayer of Moses. But please note that the prayer of Moses is not a desperate prayer. It is a prayer full of hope and peace. Even though we may be familiar with the Psalm 90, there are at least three possible questions we can ask. The first question we can ask is, why does Moses mention about 70, 80, Is Moses emphasizing the life is sought, and just like the message of my middle school teacher? This is the first question. The second question we can ask is, why? Why does Moses ask God to teach us to number our days? Is Moses asking us to number our remaining days on earth? If it is the case, we should have lamentations on our birthday instead of celebrations. The third question we can ask is, why? Why does God urge the human to return? Is God urge us to return to the dust? So, let's go into the first question. Why does Moses mention about 70 and 80? Verses 7 to 11. For we have been consumed by your anger and your wrath. We have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in sight of your persons. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. Verse 10. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is done, and we fly away. Who understand the power of your anger and your fury, according to the fear that is still you? There is a Chinese idiom saying, a man seldom lives to be 70 years old. A man seldom lives to be 70 years old. With this kind of concept, we may easily assume that the verse 10, Moses seems proposing 70 and 80 is the life expectancy. But it is not the case. Why? According to the Bible, Moses at that time had the concept of life expectancy with about 120 years old to 140 years old. You can find that Moses' grandfather had enjoyed a long life, 133 years old. And his father has died when he was 137 years old. How about Aaron, Moses' brother? He has lived for 123 years. And Moses himself has lived for 120 years. So, given this background information, we can know that 70, 80 is not pointing to the life expectancy. Moses is not simply proposing life is short. If the verse is not pointing to the life expectancy, then the second part of the verse 10 is the main point, the focus. Yet their pride is not labor, is but labor and sorrow. Life is labor and sorrow. If you still remember, the Bible tells us that Moses had killed an Egyptian when he was 40 years old. And because of the murder, the Pharaoh heard about this, and the Pharaoh would like to try to kill Moses. That's why Moses had to escape from Pharaoh and live in Midian. And until Moses is about 70-something, God calls Moses to bring Israelites to go out of Egypt. And that is the Exodus. When Moses talked to Pharaoh, he was 80. 70 to 80 was the turning point of Moses' life. Before 70 and 80, Moses lived as a foreigner, living in the foreign land as a foreigner. That's why he named his son, the first son, as Gershom, which means I have become a foreigner in a foreign land. As a foreigner, the life is full of labor and sorrow. Now, we may now understand 70, 80 is at the special numbers to Moses. The numbers emphasize that lifetime can be full of labor and sorrow. The reasons that Moses mentioned about 70 and 80 is not proposing to make the best use of time. Instead, Moses emphasized that life can be full of labor and sorrow, even you are young. Now, please note that the tone of the psalm have changed from labor and sorrow to a joyful tone in verse 12 to 17. Verses 12 to 17. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. 15. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. We come to the second question. Why? Why does Moses ask God to teach us numbering our days? Moses used the term, used a verb to number. And you may find that the same verb in the Pentateuch. If you regard the Pentateuch is written by Moses, then it is the same verb. In the Genesis, God promised Abraham and gave blessing to him. God said, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Here you find that to number the dust on the earth does not mean counting the actual number of the dust on the earth. Instead, Abraham has to confess the limitation of human. We are unable to number the dust on the earth. Also, Abraham should think about God when he sees the dust on the earth. He has to remember how huge, how large is the blessing of God. In the same way, to number our days may not refer to the real counting. It can be a reminder to us about our limitation and God's blessing. In order to understand to number our days, what is the meaning of our days? Is it refer to the days before or the days remaining? Today is at the middle. If we are numbering our days, it points to the remaining, then it is about the tomorrow. But what is the meaning here? To answer this question, we have to read verse 11 and 13, which is right before and right after verse 12. In verse 11, who understand the power of your anger, God's anger, and your fury, according to the fear that is still you. In verse 13a, do return, O Lord, how long will it be? You may, from these two verses, the verses before and after verse 12, you can understand that to number our days is not counting the days remaining. It is not counting our days remaining on earth. It is our days under God's anger. That's why 11 is about God's anger. And how long will it be? Means, when will our days under God's anger come to an end? When will our days under God's anger come to an end? Verse 12 does not mean we are treasuring the remaining days on earth. Instead, we are looking at the days under God's anger. That's why you may find that in verse 9 is pointing to all the days, all our days, pointing to the fact that all our days have declined in God's anger. And what is the trigger of God's anger? verses 7 to 8 give us the answer. For we have consumed by your anger and your wrath, we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in light of your presence. Therefore, our days, in verse 12, is not referring to the days remaining. It is referring to the days, our days under God's anger, the days before. It is not our days remaining on earth. It is not focusing on the 1.5 days remaining before 2019. It is not suggesting us to do whatever we want because life is short, not this kind of concept. Instead, our days is the days before. When we get older and older, we enjoy telling stories. We like to talk about our past. And also we enjoy boosting our achievements in our life, the days before. Even though this kind of boosting or sharing is about the days before, but here, it is not the meaning of this phrase, the days before. It is pointing to the days under God's anger. The days under God's anger. To number our days, pointing to our days under God's anger, it recalls our sinful acts, our sinful behavior in the days before. It recalls, and it is from the days of our birth to the end of year 2018. Is there anything that you have done that may trigger God's anger? To number our days is to number our days in God's anger. The main point here is to admit that how sinful we are. The number of times that we have sinned against God can be uncountable. It is not a real counting, but to remember how sinful we are. You may ask, if to number our days is confessing our sins, then what is the heart of wisdom? What is the we may gain a heart of wisdom in the NIV. What is the heart of wisdom that we can gain? To gain some wisdom, it means we can understand some knowledge. The answer is provided in verse 11, who understand the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear of it fill you. Here, understanding the power of God's anger is the wisdom. If you understand God's anger, then you are wise. In our daily life, it is wise to understand the anger of the other peoples. As an employee, it would be wise for you to understand the preference of your employer. As a husband, it would be wise for you to understand the emotion of your wife. It could be problematic if you are not sensitive to the anger of the other people. In the office, you may miss a lot of promotion opportunities. And at home, you may even suffer in your diet if you are not sensitive to the anger of your wife. And you may be unable to sleep well too. The psalm here reminds us to have a heart of wisdom to understand the anger of God. If we insist on our sinful way of living, it is unwise. Seeking for God to teach us to number our days is asking God to help us to know about His requirement, to understand His will, and help us to recall our misbehavior in the past. Eventually, we will confess our sins. Confessing our sins and seeking for His forgiveness are important. These are the actions we need to take as a response to God's anger. They are also the crucial steps to change our lives. The changes of our life before and after our confessions of sins can be dramatic. Interestingly, verse 12 is a turning point and of the Psalm 90. It plays an important role in the Psalm 90. The request, teach us to number our days, It's a turning point of the psalm. The faith in the morning can be found in verses 5 and 6 and also in verse 14, just before and after verse 12. Before verse 12, in the morning, it is about the growth of grass, but it is a desperate picture. The growth of the grass in the morning and it withers and fades away in the evening. It is a desperate picture. In verse 14, oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness. You can find that the picture in verse 14 is full of hope in the morning. Desperate versus full of hope. Another verse, another phrase, all our days. You may find that in the verse 9, for all our days have declined in your fury. All our days under God's anger before verse 12. But after verse 12, verse 14, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Before verse 12, you can find that the life is full of worries and under God's anger. But after verse 12, all our days is a joyful life. Teaching us to number our days is a turning point, not only in Psalm 90, but also in our Christian life. Because to number our days is to number the days, our days under God's anger. Teaching us to number our days means to be sensitive to God's anger. In order to avoid God's anger, we should know about His requirement. We should ask, what is the command from God? So let's go to the last question. Why does God urge human to return? In verse 3, verses 1 to 6. Lord, you have been our daring pace in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth unto the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of man. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when you passed by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass that which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Towards evening it fades and withers away. You can find that in verse 3. It's the only command from God recapped by Moses in this psalm. Return, O children of man. It is the only command found in Psalm 90. It is also a command given by God. So we have to ask, what is the meaning of this command? Is that God asking us to return to the dust? In the whole psalm, return, the verb return, occurs 3 times. The first 2 times you can find in the verse 3. You turn man back into dust is the first time, and then the return command is the second time. And the third time in the Psalm 90 is verse 13. Do return, O Lord, or relent. They are the same verb in the Hebrew. You can find that the first occurrence point that you turn man back into dust. But in the second occurrence and the third occurrence, return do not have destination. So you can understand that the second and the third occurrence is not pointing to dust. Otherwise, in verse 13, it can be very strange and cannot be understood. Do return, O Lord, to dust. No. So, where does God urge us to return is the question we should ask. To where does God urge us to return? Let us put the question aside and let's reread verses 14 and 15. The theme begat, you can find at the end of this psalm. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years you have been seen evil. You have seen evil. Be glad, used by Moses, is have an interesting pattern, especially when you read the Pentateuch. When you read the Pentateuch, be glad, or to rejoice is the same verb. In the Leviticus and also Deuteronomy, the passages about the festival of tabernacles, you can find that you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. And in the passages about the burnt offerings, fellowship offerings, free will offerings, he said, there also you and your household shall eat before the Lord your God and rejoice. Be glad. And there, rejoice before the Lord your God. You are to rejoice before the Lord your God in everything you put your hand to. You shall sacrifice peace offerings and eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. And the tithe, passages about the tithe also. There you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice, and you and your household. Be glad, rejoice, the same verb, before the Lord your God. That means you have to worship and offer the sacrifices in front of God, observing the festival in front of God, eating, rejoicing, being glad in front of God. The criteria of being glad in front of God is to return to God. To return to God. God is able to change our life from being full of labor and sorrow to a joyful one. God is able to change our life from being full of sorrow and labor to a joyful life. The theme, returning to God, has been hinted in the title of the psalm. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. It is not just a prayer of Moses. The phrase, the man of God, means Moses is belonging to God. The man of God returned to God. Also, in verses 13 and 16, Moses mentioned himself and his people, as your servants, the servants of God. That means it is normal for a man of God and also the servants of God to return to his master. By returning to God, his people can seek for God's mercy, grace. And that's why you can find verses 13. Have compassion on your servants, or be sorry, that means compassion. Returning to God, you can seek for his compassion. In verse 14, you can seek for his love and also the favor of the Lord. By returning to God, the people of God can seek for his love, mercy, love, grace, forgiveness, and favor. Moses prayed and asked God to teach us to number our days. It is not a real counting of remaining days in our life. So we can still have celebrations instead of lamentation on our birthdays. Moses is not suggesting us to make the best use of time nor to do whatever we want. No. Instead, he is urging us to confess our sins that we have committed, we have done, and trigger God's anger. God asks human to return. He's returning to him. Returning to God is not returning to dust. So, he is not urging us to commit suicide, okay? We can turn to God when we are still alive.
We can eat, we can rejoice in front of God, before the law of your God. It is not a physical turn. That's why we are not physically turned to the north or west of the east and to pray. It is a spiritual turn, a turn spiritually to God. In other words, be Christ-centered, be God-centered. Seeking for God's will is one of the most important things we should do. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Be God-centered, Christ-centered. Unfortunately, self-centeredness is one of the most common sins that we have done every day, being self-centered. To number and return means to confess our sins and follow God. In other words, don't be self-centered and be Christ-centered, be God-centered. Only by returning to God and confessing our sins, we can seek for His mercy, His grace, and forgiveness. Thanks God that for His promise, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness. Today is the last Sunday of year 2018. One day later, it will become a new year, year 2019. And here, I wish you all have a joyful, blessed, happy new year. 14 hours later, it will be a new morning. It will be a new morning again. It can be a desperate morning, but it can also be a joyful morning. Which one do you prefer? A desperate morning, like the grass, like the growth of grass, or a joyful morning with God's loving kindness all around? Do you prefer having all the days under God's anger? Or do you prefer singing for joy and being glad all the days? Thanks God that He allows us to choose. He gives us options. Now, may I invite you all to close your eyes and be silent. Let us number our days and return to God. Let us confess our sins and follow Him. Jesus has said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbors as yourself." During year 2018, have you ever sinned against God in any scenario? When you are at school, or in your office, or at home? Have you seen with your eyes, your heart, or your mind, or your mouth? For example, reading inappropriate magazines, thinking inappropriate stuff, doing inappropriate things, saying something improperly. During the year, have you ever sinned against your brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you ever overlooked the daily needs of others? Have you neglected those who are in sorrow and need comfort? Have you become self-centered? O Lord, our God, may You help us to return to You, to return to the dwelling place of all generations. May You forgive our sins, the sins that we have committed or have done during the year. May you help us to reconcile with you and with brothers and sisters. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Your word is powerful and true. We praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.